Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in the chat rooms and all of you who are listening by telephone, as well as my distinguished panelists, in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How you doing,
thank
brother?
You. And let me just remind you, those of you who are on the panel, if you have background noise, can you please try to keep it to a minimum? If you're speaking via speakerphone, please come off a speaker, because we get a lot of feedback and it makes the sound distorted. And if you have your computers on, please mute them at this time. And before we get started, I want to check and see if Brother Tony is on the line. Brother Tony?
Yes, ma'am, I'm with you.
Brother
Demetrius is asking that you text him the number to get on. He's on my other line.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir, I will. Okay. Well, before we do that, okay, I'm sorry, I thought that was him showing up. Let me just say that this is the last show of the year for Nation Building Presents. This is the last Thursday of 2013. And I just want to personally thank all of the listeners who have supported us throughout this year and, of course, the year before. And, of course, all of you who have who are coming on for the third, fourth, fifth, or tenth time during the year, the panelists, thank you all so very much for your support and just lending your services to our nation. And so may Allah bless us in the new year to be prosperous and healthy and happy. And I just want to thank my listening audience, especially my chat room family, for your constant love and support throughout these 2 years. And we are looking forward to a better and brighter 2014. And I would like to welcome you all tonight to the final show of the year, which is called Farrakhan in Scripture. And I want to give the reason behind this show. It was said, and I'm not going to name the source, but it was said that the minister is now the Messiah, or has been named the Messiah. And so those of us who follow him and believe him, we have to be able to defend what we say we believe. And so for those of you who are new or not familiar with the Nation of Islam, we want to provide to you some concrete information about the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, so that maybe you can see him in, you know, through our eyes and, of course, through written scripture. And so I have a distinct panel with me tonight, and I want to give them all an opportunity to introduce themselves. So we're going to start with you, someone who needs no introduction, of Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. Can you present yourself, dear brother?
Yes, ma'am, and thank you, Sister Aziza. And assalamu alaikum to you all, my co-panelists, as well as the listening and participating audience. And I don't mind, Sister Aziza, I don't mind you saying at all that I mentioned that on my show, that he is the Messiah.
Yeah.
And, of course, I expected that there would be questions. I didn't necessarily expect the stir that it created. But it's good to have this show, definitely good to have this show. And let me say, it's been a great honor, sis, to be a part of Nation Building Network this year, for the time that Allah has blessed me to know you and to be a part of this wonderful network of information that we are blessed to share with the listening and participating audience. So, assalamu alaikum, dear sister.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you once again and over again, Brother James, for always being so gracious and so willing to come on and teach us and share your expertise on so many various topics that we covered since your tenure with us. And so also tonight I have a co-host. I had to break his arm and his leg and part of his neck to get him to come on, but I want to introduce Brother Tony, who is going to co-host with me tonight. So Brother Tony, front and center soldier, present yourself once again. You're not a stranger to us.
Assalamu alaikum. I just from the nurse's office. I have my cast on because the sister did break my leg. I would like to thank the sister for the opportunity. It's always a blessing this day and time to share some of the teachings of what we have learned from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I would like to greet the panel, and I feel honored to question men who have dedicated their life to the study of the divine revelation that was revealed to us by our teacher and messenger. So we want to get straight to the core. We're going to have some heavy questions, some heavy hitters, and hopefully we will stimulate some deep thought.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And also joining us is Student Minister Andre Muhammad out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And, of course, you're no stranger to the network, Brother Andre. So please present yourself, dear brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, dear Sister Aziza. I want to, you know, thank you for allowing me to come on at the very, not so much end, but at the last quarter of the year to be a part of this distinguished panel of everyone that you had on the panel. And I want to greet everyone on the panel with the universal greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. It's always a pleasure to be on the panel and to have anything to say because of the teaching. Because if it was not for the teaching, I would not have anything of value to say, period. So it is always an honor to be on and to hopefully inspire and motivate someone who's listening to go and do their research concerning the nation and the title that the minister has, that, you know, he holds, and often, and hopefully that you will follow through with that. So thank you again, Sister Aziza, and all of those on the panel. I'm ready to get started. I'm ready to jump in. So let's go. Let's go ahead and get it going.
Okay. Well, before we do, we have another distinguished panelist with us, Student Minister James Muhammad out of Alabama, who is the prison reform minister there. So I think this is not the first time on the network, but this is the first time on my show, I believe. So, Student Minister James, would you please come front and center, soldier, and introduce yourself?
Yes, ma'am. In the name of Allah, beneficent, the merciful, I'd like to greet all of you, and the greeting was a peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum,
sir. Pray that all is well with each of you and your families. And for Sister Aziza, this is my first time on this show. I've been on the other show, but when she was telling me about this right here, I was excited about it. Like, you know, I have never been on a panel or part of discussion where we just actually, the only thing we talked about was Farrakhan in Scripture. And today I was, made me pull out some tapes dealing with the four Jesus and stuff like that, just so that I won't make myself or my family look bad. But it just sparked other study. And, I can now, sitting out here in front of, I got dictionaries and paper and pens and books, and I was like, my goodness, I wasn't expecting all of this. So I'm really excited. And Sister called me up the right way, come up, soldier. So I'm fired up now. I just got to go over here and put my boots on. I had my little house shoes on, but I'll be fully prepared. I'm ready.
All persons before law. And also we are joined by Student Minister Dimitri. He has joined us now. So Student Minister Dimitri, come front and center, sir. You need no introduction. Just present yourself, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Sister Aziza, thank you once again for the gracious invitation to be a part of the program tonight. I'm always thankful to Allah and honored to be invited. And it's a double honor to be in the company of such esteemed brothers and colleagues in the labor. Looking forward to our discussion tonight. And once again, thank you for all that you do to create programming that really serves a very important niche market and that is the believing community, the Nation of Islam, and our supporters, our sympathizers, those who sometimes we affectionately refer to as the friends of Farrakhan. And so I want to thank you for that, because as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, no man or woman desires to do a good work in this world without simultaneously facing opposition. Initially, it's internal opposition, but as you progress and you manifest the idea, you begin to see the external opposition as well. So I thank you for keeping on, and may Allah continue to bless you and enrich you and strengthen you and your family and those that support you in the years to come.
Oh, thank you so much, Brother Dimitri. That was heartfelt. Thank you, and thank you so much for your service and your willingness to share our airwaves and come on. And you've given us such in-depth lessons over the times that you've been on. So, Brother, I thank you for your contribution to Nation Building Network family. Thank you so much. And we have scheduled Brother Victor Muhammad out of Fort Lauderdale, but he's going to be on in a couple of weeks, and he's going to expound greatly on the comparison to the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan to David in Scripture. So we'll have him on in a couple of weeks. But I see you out there, Brother Victor, so assalamu alaikum. Okay, so since I very seldom have a co-host, and since I do, I'm going to yield to Brother Tony. Brother Tony, you want to start us off with your question?
Yes, ma'am, I sure do.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get right to it. Historically speaking, there has been a mischaracterization of those who founded the Nation of Islam, namely Master Farrakhan Muhammad. Upon his departure, most of those who followed him and helped him in the work did not identify him properly. Upon his departure, there was a declaration or proclamation of who he actually was, and it caused a great falling away due to those who followed him not being able to accept the declaration. It was the same with the departure of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan characterized or declared that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the exalted Christ. This caused many of those who followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to fall away. With that in mind, historically speaking, the messenger said that Jesus is the most misunderstood man in the scripture. And he said that if our people understood Jesus, we would awaken overnight. So the question is, do you think that it's more dangerous to mischaracterize who Minister Farrakhan is, or to just make a characterization that may be close or may be far off or may be on point? So do you think it's more dangerous to mischaracterize, take a chance of mischaracterizing, than making the proper proclamation or declaration of who Minister Farrakhan actually is?
Okay, so we're going to start with you, Brother Dimitri.
That's a very loaded question, as they say, dear Brother Tony. it's a very intriguing one. And, you know, Allah is so merciful with man, so merciful with the believer especially. I emphasize the believer because in the Quran, you know, Allah does a great job of compartmentalizing various groups of people, and he always singles out the believer as that compartment or that segment of humanity that he loves the most. And he handles us in a particular kind of way. He permits us to learn and understand gradually. And in this regard, Allah God is the perfect teacher. You know, sometimes they say in this world, those who can do and those who can't teach. And it is a satanic idiom or saying that is designed at the root of it to cause the masses of the people to reject the righteous teachers of God and see their real value. But any good teacher is always one who painstakingly puts themselves through changes, whatever changes are necessary to formulate the message or to formulate the idea that they want to convey in a method of delivery that is most conducive to the student accepting that message. So, you know, when we begin to identify the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the pages of Scripture, we first of all have to understand that this is what the Apostle Paul would deem as the meat of the Scripture. And as he was establishing the early community of believers in Jesus, he gave pastoral advice and ministerial advice to Timothy, Titus, and Stephen, and all of those who were laboring in the ministry. And he advised them that, you know, there are those who are babies in the Word, and you should give them milk, but there are those who are mature in the Word, and you should give them meat. So certainly milk might be a way to describe how Allah brings the believer along gradually. So most of us, I would dare say, when we came to the Nation of Islam, we were attracted to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's boldness. You know, it depends on which time period you begin to hear him. That determines kind of what you were drawn or attracted by. But if you came in the late 80s and early 90s, and even if you came today, I should say, you know, you're attracted to the boldness of the man. You're attracted to the eloquence of his speech and the manner in which he is able to make complex truths simple and plain. And so we may not understand at that time who the man is. You know, you pointed out beautifully, dear brother, that when the Savior, Master Farah Muhammad, was among us, he was often written of as a prophet. And there was certainly consternation and confusion in the aftermath of his physical presence among us, among his followers, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made public what had been discussed in private about his teacher's real identity. You know, and so likewise it is today. We have to be careful because the minister has produced a lot of goodwill for us in the Christian community. He has even produced a lot of goodwill and friendship for us in the Islamic world. So we have to be always in the mind of being the type of teacher that Allah God is, and always seeking to make an assessment of where our audience is in terms of their thoughts or their ideas. And we represent the minister in a way that our student or our audience can understand. And if that audience becomes studious, Allah will grow them in their understanding of the minister. So I guess I would say that there is danger if we misrepresent the minister in a gross way, particularly in the way we live our life. There is danger in that because we fall into that category of persons that Allah condemns as he or she who hinders men from the sacred mosque. But when we speak and articulate our belief, we can only articulate what we believe at that time. And so Allah is merciful with us that we may see the man initially as a bold black man. And as time goes on, we may see him as a powerful minister. We may grow to see him as a messenger of God. Some might call him Elijah, the prophet, and others might call him the son of man. But all of these reflect growth of one who is studying a man that is literally a phenomenon that has all sectors of humanity scratching their head to ascertain who this man is and how did he burst onto the scene when the wicked were looking for him. You know, they were looking for those who would step forward in the aftermath of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's departure. But most of them were not counting on Farrakhan. And if you read many of the writings of the counterintelligence program of the FBI, you see them discussing what they wanted to do to change the direction of the nation. And in none of their conversations had they identified, or as we would say in the streets, had they peeped the very one that God would use to rebuild it. So I thank you, dear brother, for your question. I hope I wasn't too long, but that's the kind of question we could talk about all night. So thank you so much, dear brother.
Okay. Does anybody else want to weigh in on Brother Tony's question before we go to the next one? Anyone?
Well, ma'am, this is Brother James out of Alabama, from Lakeland.
Yes, sir.
I think that, man, that was awesome, brother. I'm just hoping I can get the recording of this so I can play it to the peoples.
Yes, but sir.
Not to add something to it. I don't want to add something to it, but a thought came to mind when, about misrepresenting him. And I was talking in the prisons the other day, and what was one of the things that I talked about was, you know, one of the greatest teachings that you can give anyone is your example. And I found that believers that actually practice the teachings, that actually practice, physically carry it into practice with fasting and prayer and the doing of good according to what the scriptures say of good and ethically and morally what we see of good, I think that we see the minister as he is. But those of us that don't practice teachings or the lessons that are given to us, I don't think that we see the minister. Those people don't see the minister as he is. They're more attracted to his boldness and have more fear of saying he's not the man because they see him doing what he's doing and believe him to be the man, but can't really carry it into practice. And that's like what Brother Demetrius was saying. And I'm thankful to hear that, brother, and to be here with you and hope to see you in Detroit to shake your hand and kiss your cheek for the wonderful work that you're doing. And that just shows me that you're studying. But I think that we misrepresent him when we don't practice. And we are to the people. You know, in the prisons, they don't know Minister Farrakhan. They know me. And how I represent him is how is what they know of him inside of the prisons. As well, when I see a Brother Abdullah, the Brother James out of Florida, any of Brother Ishmael, when he was here in Alabama a couple of months ago, that representation shows me that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is this man that we're reading in Scripture today, and that if we just continue to practice to the believer that has a small weakness, Allah says in the Holy Quran that we could, you know, 100 men can take home 10,000, but because
we're
weak, because we're a little weak, we can't do that. So he allows 100 to take on 100. It builds your faith up, and then that 100 takes on 200. And the way it's written, that 100 evidently defeated that 100, because that 100 taking on 200 now. And it showed that Allah was backing them. So they had to practice their faith and go to war with their faith. And then overcoming the doubt and fear and darkness of their faith allowed them to go on to the next echelon of their faith, into belief. And one day those 100 were in shape and had the fortitude to conquer 10,000. So I'm thankful, all praise is due to Allah, that I was able to hear and understand what I heard and jumped on board. And I'm thankful. And I pray that goes even farther into what brother said. I thank you, dear brother, and brother for asking the question. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam. Sister Aziza, I'd like to weigh in on it. I tried to get in, I forgot I was on mute there, sister.
Absolutely, through the minister, yeah. James. Absolutely.
Yeah. First of all, I want to thank my astute brother, whom I refer to as my mentor. He never accepts that appellation, but it's too bad, mm-hmm. Brother Dimitri. That's what you've been to me, so all over the years. And you've helped me tremendously in my ministry, dear brother. And, of course, your words of guidance and the prudence that lied therein is absolutely invaluable. And also, Brother James in Alabama, dear brother, thank you for your work of going into the prisons and delivering the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to those who are locked, as we say, in the belly of the beast.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I wanted to go to Scripture in John, chapter 7, verse 3. It is written that, know this. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The foundational, or the foundation of the belief, the driving belief, the principle of belief of the Nation of Islam is found in point number 12, listed on the back page of the final call. And that point states, we believe that Allah God appeared in the person of Master W.F. Muhammad. And I want to make sure I don't mess it up. But that point says, we believe that Allah God appeared in the person of Master W. Farad Muhammad, July 1930, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and the Mahdi of the Muslims. We believe further and lastly that Allah is God, and besides him, there is no God, and he will bring about a universal government of peace wherein we all can live in peace together. Now back to the scriptures I initially read. If to know Jesus, to know God and his Christ whom he has sent, is eternal life, then not to know them, we can safely say, is akin to death. Jesus also said that many will come saying, I am Christ. And so he warned us on a few occasions in Scripture, let no man deceive you. Be not deceived. Many will say, here is Christ, or I am Christ. Therefore, it is important that we know God, the one true God, and it is important that we know the Christ whom he has sent. But it is equally important to know the Messiah as well. Why? Because these are not persons in as much as they are titles that represent levels of development and ascension in divine evolutionary growth and development. When Master Farad Muhammad came, he took on or introduced himself as that, Messiah. But when he departed, and when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad took on the mission, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that that man among us was God in person. Then when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed, The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that that man who was among us was not just the messenger of God. He said, in fact, that was one of the cheaper titles representing a certain level of growth and development in divine or in the line of divine. He said that man was Jesus Christ among us, the one whom the world has been expecting, awaiting and expecting for the last 2,000 years. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he said, Allah God has made me to take his place, or is making me to take his place among the people. Which means that whatever place that Master Faraj Muhammad had at the time of that statement, he was now making the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to take his place among the people. And the Honorable, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, I am making you, this is what he told the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, to take my place among the people. Now, in a recent address that the minister delivered to us as he was talking to the believers in the Nation of Islam, he said, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is now Christ, has made me, not making me, but made me his Messiah. Now, why did I say all of this? I say all of this because these are evolutionary levels of development in the line of divine. They represent not only the development of those three men, but they represent the potential development of the human being. Allah God appeared in the person of Master Faraj Muhammad to announce that God was, is, and shall always be manifested in the person of a man or in the person of a human being. Therefore, he was giving us our potential. Jesus said in Scripture, come follow me so that where I am, you can be also. Now, what was he talking about? Was he talking about some place in sky, some place in an ethereal or ethereal afterlife? Where was Jesus when he said it? Or where did he anticipate being? Christ ascended to the Father and sat at the right hand of the Father. He became the executor of the mind and will of the Father. Therefore, all that the Father intended to execute in the universe, he did so through the Christ. He didn't start like that. But he eventually ascended to that position. And so, on that premise, we believe that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan started out, as we all start out, on a divine journey. He is a message. That message brings out of him the spiritual gifts that God put in him. But the message also inclined him to submit so totally to the one that brought the message that he now becomes the person in the absence of that one that brought the message, even as Christ becomes the executor of the will of the Father. So now we have this evolutionary development that has to deal with the challenge of what we have been force-fed by our slave masters that lead us to believe that this is not within the providence of man, that it's only for some invisible, spiritual, spooky kind of entity that can't talk. You can't see him until you die, and if you see him, you're going to die kind of concept. And because no one really wants to die, no one really wants to see the reality of God. That's the challenge we face when we make these kinds of statements. But I would ask all of us just to walk through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and compare what the Messiah was and is to do to the work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and then you see if he is not a Messiah type. To directly answer the question, Brother Tony, yes, it is more dangerous to mischaracterize the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan than to make statements as I have made, him being, as he has made, and then I have made after. Why do I say that? If you visit the scripture, you'll see that the Sanhedrin had a big problem with the Messiah, had a big problem with Jesus. And one of those among them, his name, I believe, was Gamaliel. And he said to them, if this man be of men, then what he says will go the way of all men who make claims. I'm not reciting it perfectly. But if he is of man, and what he says is of man, then what he says will go by way of all that make false claims. He said, but if this man is God, or if this man is from God, then to challenge and to oppose and to fight that man, we may find ourselves challenging, opposing, and fighting God. Hmm. Now look at, and, you know, I don't want to monopolize the time, but I want to refer to Brother Dimitrik's wonderful book, which has been my guide in this since I made that statement. And on page 96, in fact, about it, I want you to just read it. Get the book, Who Do They Say I Am? The Vindication of Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
If he's from man, if he is of man, then whatever I say or whatever anybody claims of him, including himself, will go for naught and will go the way of all false claims. But if he is from God, as the Messiah is from God, then those who ignore, those who mock, those who disclaim him, be careful. You may be mocking, you may be opposing, you may be rejecting, you may be disclaiming God. Yeah. I want to stop there. Thank you. So it is very dangerous. That's my direct answer, Brother Tony.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Sister
Aziza.
Yes,
okay,
let me remind you, please, just be brief as you can with your question. I mean, with your answers, because we have a lot of questions, and, you know, the clock is running. So, you
yes,
know,
ma'am.
I know
I'm
people
sorry.
Get passionate about it, but let's just be mindful of the time. Okay. Go ahead, whoever was calling my name just now. Go ahead and proceed.
That's me, Sister Aziza, Brother, Sister Minister Andre. I was, wanted to weigh in just briefly on what has already been said. Is definitely not, I can't say anything greater or lesser than what has already been said, but I just wanted to be brief about, you know, in the Holy Quran, in the second chapter, the very beginning of the second chapter, Allah says that he's the best knower. He also goes on to say that he knows best where to place his mercy. He also knows best where to place his message. When we're looking at the from a historical point standpoint, when Muhammad came and he had the message, he came to a people who were backwards. They believed in idols. They didn't have a lot of morals. So he raised them from that position, and they accepted him as he was because they referred or they could relate to him. Making my story short is that Allah says that he's the Rab or he's the nourisher. As Brother James had said earlier, he nourishes us all to perfection. Now, when we deny any point of his truth in that nourishing or in when he's bringing us from that, it halts our evolution or it halts our development. And we're not able to complete the journey. We can't maintain our position. It's almost like a baby coming out of the womb refusing to breathe because it can't get to life. It just does not stop to grow. It goes back to dust. Now, the Christians accept Jesus, yet they deny Muhammad. That denial halts their evolutionary process. They never were in touch totally with the life force of the teachings of Jesus because they deny it. The Muslims who accept Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, but yet deny the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, they are never were in touch with the teachings of the Holy Quran. Now, accepting the honorable Elijah Muhammad but denying the minister, those who profess to follow the honorable Elijah Muhammad, they are never were in touch with his teachings. So, yes, it is dangerous to mischaracterize the minister because the denial of truth that any of these messengers brought at any time negates the progress made up to that point. And I'm quoting from the self-improvement basis, study guide number 9. I think it's study guide number 9. Yeah, study guide number 9, where it speaks about how we denate or we deny evolutionary progress when we deny or we it becomes to a point where we don't represent the person who's in our midst now. So if we misrepresent the minister, then we are denying our evolutionary life force. We begin to stop. We stay at the same at a certain point in our lives that we're not able to move forward. This is the reason why the world is acting as though a prophet has never come, because of the denial of that. So it is dangerous. Yes, sir, Brother Tony. It is dangerous that we don't represent the minister as we should, because he's the one in our midst. He's the example. Remember I said earlier that Allah best knows best where to place his message. He knows best where to place his mercy. He is the best knower. So if he's all of those things and we believe that, then we have to represent the man in our midst up to our fullest extent right now, or else we'll fall by the wayside, as the prophecy in Matthew where it says some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and we don't want that to happen. So that's my brief answer to that. Thank you for listening.
Yes, sir. Okay, let me just quarterback this thing for a second. Okay, we have a lot of questions in the chat room. Let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are calling by phone, please press 1 on your dial pad, and we will take your questions, I promise. Word is bond. Okay, I'm going to ask some questions that have often been asked of us on various different shows from the listening audience, and a lot of times I don't get an opportunity to address their questions. One of the questions from Sister Lynn, who is a faithful listener, she's been with me for, I know, well over a year. So thank you, Sister Lynn, for your constant support. One thing that she asked, she said, what is the difference between the Christ, the Messiah, and the Son of Man, and have we been able to identify these men at present time? And I want to let I want everyone to weigh in, but again, let me remind you to please, for the sake of time, keep your answers brief as possible. So I want to start with you, Brother Dimitri.
Yes, ma'am, and I have to say I'm thoroughly enjoying listening to everyone. I'm very happy to hear from my brother James in Alabama, colleague in the prison reform ministry. You know, thank Allah for his great work and tireless labor. Dear brother, appreciate your words of encouragement and appreciate even more your labor working with our brothers who are locked away and many people hope are thrown away. But you represent a light when you go there and it reverberates around the country. So thank Allah for you, dear brother, and as well as Brother James from Tampa, and my brother Andre. I don't know what city he's from, but I was enjoying his commentary. I could tell that he's very well studied, and I can see now that he has indeed put his boots on. So I think that's a beautiful question. Now, I would say it like this. All of those are titles that throughout the scripture various persons have worn. You can read the writings of Sheikh Ahmed Didat, who was a champion and hero of the dominant Muslim world, as he would debate evangelists. He's debated the great Jimmy Swaggart and others. He was his writings are excellent in pointing out many of the fallacies of the Christian doctrine. And I remember reading some of his writings once, and he began to point out all of the various people throughout the Bible, for instance, who were considered to be the Son of Man. If you go into a book entitled The World's 16 Crucified Saviors, written by Kersey Graves and often referenced in the temples of Islam back during the first building of the nation, he talked about many of those in other quote-unquote heathen or pagan religions, as they were called. We know they're not really that, who were referred to as the Son of Man. I think the Nation of Islam, our audience is primarily our Christian family, and today, to a large extent, our Muslim family. And when we talk about the Son of Man, and we talk about how there are aspects of the Son of Man and Christ and the Messiah that are being fulfilled, it helps to lay something of a foundation in that the world scholars who write and research the life of Jesus, they have concluded that when you read the New Testament, 82% of the words that are attributed to Jesus, he never spoke. 84 to 85% of the deeds or the actions attributed to Jesus of 2,000 years ago, he never performed. I often make the point, you know, if you worked all week and someone gave you your paycheck and more than 80% of it was missing, you would have a problem. And matter of fact, you would quickly go from being a nice, calm, reserved, dignified Muslim brother or sister, and you might just happen to revert back to the days of Jahiliyyah, let's say it like that. So we have a problem when we study the scripture and seek to understand the scripture. And unfortunately, when most of our people deal with the scripture, they're dealing with generations upon generations of belief, generations upon generations of tradition. And so it takes some skill and some patience to go to a Bible-believing brother and sister and say that the Jesus of history, you know, he didn't die on no cross, or that the Jesus of history never preached to the multitudes, or that the Jesus of history is not coming back in the clouds. And so we have to begin to make that argument, make the case that if the Bible contains these descriptions, why are they there? If the man that the world knows as Jesus never said these things, he never performed these miracles, we have a problem. And from the Nation of Islam, we say we have the answer to that problem of scripture, because we can point to, in the Bible's description of Jesus, certain men among us who have fulfilled various aspects. And we know, for instance, Master Farad Muhammad, he had a 3.5-year ministry, as Jesus is predicted to have had. We know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the first begotten of the dead. We know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the Jesus that speaks to the masses and the one that we believe will go through with the crucifixion. And so it might appear strange that we would say all of these men, three men, and really three men and a people, if you just really want to get down to it, fulfill the majority of what is written of when we talk about Christ, the Son of Man, the Messiah. As Brother James pointed out, we're seeing the minister now as the Messiah, you know, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad raised. And one thing may help us with this as well. There is a saying from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that is also backed up by a footnote in the Holy Quran. I can't place if it's in the 72nd surah or the 76th surah, but he used to say that he was given the hardest job of any man that ever lived. And it may help, you know, to conceptualize in your mind that he was given the hardest job of any man that ever lived, but it was such a hard job that Allah appointed for him helpers, you know, and he appointed for him a very special helper that, as he would later describe, you know, of the Holy Quran, he said, you know, two-thirds of this book refer to me, and a third refers to another fella, and I'm going to let him worry about that. So he grew in his understanding, which is another major point that many who don't like the minister fail to deal with. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1975 was not the Honorable Elijah Muhammad of 1935 when the Savior left. He had 40 years of growth. Now, you'd find something wrong with the man that does not grow and progress in his thinking and understanding in 40 years. Surely we have grown in our thinking and understanding, and we may have been in this wisdom only 5 years or 10 years. Imagine how far he progressed to understand in 40 years. So many people often point to apparent contradictions in his latter teachings compared to his earlier teachings. But it's not a contradiction if you go beneath the surface. So I'm going to put a pin in it, Sister Aziz. A lot could be said on that point, but I'm going to give my brother the opportunity to refine the answer to this question. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, is there anyone else want to weigh in on Sister Lynn's question? Brother, any of your brothers, James, Andre?
Yes, ma'am. Very briefly to my sister, and thank you for your question. And thank you, Brother Dimitri, of course, for your very astute answer. I would just say this. There are many, many who could fit the title Son of Man. Son of Man is not relegated to one particular person. It's a concept. Basically, the consistent basis is that it represents what it says, a man from a man. But contextually, it represents more than one person. The Messiah, the Son of Man, the Christ, some of which is different levels of tasks that are performed by the same individual, others of which are performed by different individuals. The Christ becomes the universal Lord, that no one is over him except God, and everything and everyone else in the universe is under him. That's the Christ. The Messiah is the one who, the very base definition is one who travels much, one who kills the swine and breaks the cross. Well, that certainly needs understanding, because you can easily kill pigs and find a wooden cross or a metal one somewhere and break it. That doesn't make you a Messiah. But it represents a deeper meaning in that this one kills the appetite of filth in the human being and removes from the human being that inclination to think filthily and to deal with filth in their behavior. To break the cross means, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, the cross represents the dialectic, the conflict in life. There is an horizontal representation and a vertical representation. and at some point they meet. But this horizontal, which represents man's ability to amass material growth and development, and then the vertical symbol represents man's ability to ascend spiritually. And, of course, where they intersect represents a balance. The breaking of the cross means that the conflict that wages between man's material or desires for material growth and acquisition and his desire for spiritual growth and acquisition, the conflict is over. The Messiah is the one who breaks, ends that conflict because he embodies the balance of both, the peaceful coexistence of both. So the Messiah is one, again, who travels much, one who, it is stated, will break the cross and kill the swine. The Messiah is also one who, by God's permission, will work the works of God. He'll heal the sick by God's permission. He'll open up the ears of the deaf by God's permission. He'll raise the dead to life and cause the dumb to speak only by God's permission. So, you see, some of which, and this is why the scripture says, "Lo, I come in the volumes of the books." So both or all of those entities are represented in the volumes of the scripture. The difference, I believe, being certain levels of development and then, of course, certain tasks to perform at those stages of development. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Due to the time constraints, we're going to take a question from the phone, and then we're going to go back to the chat room. Then we're going to go back to Brother Tony for his second question. So area code 901, your mic is live. You have a question for our panelists?
Assalamu alaikum. More of a comment than a question. Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Dantone, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Soldier. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, really quick. I just wanted to say, you know, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful talk. Assalamu alaikum to all the brothers. You guys are doing a wonderful job.
Assalamu
alaikum, Brother Dimitri, your beautiful wife. Assalamu alaikum for me, this Sister Jamie X. Anywho, I want to say, as far as we get caught up on words as people who's trying to understand the scriptures, as we're trying to just seek for ourselves knowledge with an understanding, and that's the biggest thing that we must, you know, focus on is seeking wisdom for ourselves. And then as we get more and more connected with Allah, as the minister states in the Closing the Gap, if the people do not grow with the person that is delivering the message, then the people eventually develop gaps because they was comfortable in their understanding of their teachings when they came along, because as we know, Allah is always evolving and revolving. And so if we don't evolve and revolve around with him, and as we grow with him, then, of course, we're going to get lost. But I wanted to give a little history on Messiah and the etymology of the word Messiah. As you know, it means a savior, a liberator of a group of people, most commonly in the Abrahamic religions. In the Hebrew Bible, a Messiah or Messiah is a king or high priest traditionally anointed with holy anointing oil, okay? The Jewish Messiah is a leader anointed by God, physically descended from the Davidic line who ruled the United Tribes of Israel and heralded in the Masonic age, a global peace also known as the world to come. Now, when we look at it as a word, not as a person or one individual person, but as a savior or a liberator of a group of people, then who we look at for this day and time as our savior or our liberator, then we got to give that to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We got to put him on that title. Actually, Allah showed it to me a long time ago in my study, All Praises Due to Allah. He just came and confirmed it, All Praises Due to Allah. Because when you study these teachings and you grow on with these teachings and you understand where it is Allah trying to take you within the teachings, Allah will guide you into a bigger and better understanding of His word and give you a bigger and better understanding, you know, of what it is you is that you're learning. So to the panelists, and you don't have to, you know, answer all at once, don't have to be elaborate, but I want to ask you a question. We as believers in these teachings, and that's what I really wanted to get down to it, because that's what I thought this was going to be about. How do we defend what we say we believe in? How do we defend it? How do we take them directly into the teachings? I'm kind of comfortable. All praise due to Allah. I'm growing more comfortable every day. But for believers that's not comfortable, that's new in this, and they're trying to understand this, and now you got a lot of people on Facebook, the minister, he's going against the key teachings, and they get killed off the teachings because they saying, the minister said he the Messiah. And so you got a lot of people that's calling folks hypocrites. You got a lot of people that's getting attacked. You got a lot of people. How do we, as believers, especially baby believers, defend what we say? How do we have firm knowledge, firm wisdom, firm exactness? How do we be able to go within the scriptures? How do we be able to go within everything that we have learned and even in the messenger's book to be able to defend our position as believers and what we say we believe in? And I'm going to go ahead and leave it at that. And assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Okay, so let's start with you, Brother James, out of Alabama. You being too quiet, so come on, talk to us, brother.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum, sister. You sound very confident in what you were saying. When you was talking, something came to mind. I remember listening to Theology of Times and the Sufi was asking the messenger a question, and she was questioning him about Jesus. And he kept answering the question, but she just kept going on and on, and it's like she couldn't get it across. And listening to it, you could tell even the believers were getting upset, like he done made it so plain, but yet she still wanted to keep going on to where he just had to basically shut her down himself, because she was arguing with the man, but she didn't know, but yet she didn't want to believe the answer. And he's also stated that our people have been robbed and so spoiled that we're even too lazy to study. So even if we say, or I say to you, dear sister, well, you know, that's very simple. You know, you can go to chapter 1, Mission to the Black Man. Who is that mission guy? Part 1, part 2, where you can prove that God is a man. Start right there proving that God is a man. But if our people aren't willing to accept the truth right now, because they don't want to hear sound doctrine. To the believer, I would say, if you are not skilled and versed in scripture or book, remember, the greatest teaching that you can give anyone is your example. That's the greatest teaching. Then when they see you in hard trials and you overcome them in the name of Allah, that is what they'll believe in. And I'm going to close on this. When I was in Saudi Arabia in 1990, in the first Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and we were leaving Saudi Arabia headed toward Iraq, and the route was like a 12-hour drive on like a two-lane road where we would have here, but it was more of a dirt highway. And coming out of Kuwait and Iraq and all those areas up in there, it was a constant bumper-to-bumper lane coming from the north to the south getting out of there. I mean, bumper to bumper, millions and millions of people on that one road trying to get out of the war. But when it was prayer time, say prayer time was at 1 o'clock, you would see the cars leave the road in a domino effect. they would get out, and as an American young Negro out of the hood, I would be like, man, what the heck they doing? And you would see them get on the off the road. They pull over long enough. You see them whip out those prayer rugs. They say prayer, and they get back in the car, and they back on the highway. And we were like, you know, just Christian crazy folks. Just, man, they crazy. But the more I thought to myself, a lot that I didn't know at that time was telling me, look at them. They got bombs dropping over their heads. Their women are being raped, and their homes are being pillaged. And they still holding on to the God that they believe in. I said, man, look at that. And for a 12-hour route, that's all we saw for the whole 12 hours. And I was so convinced that when I got up there towards the war, you can hear the sound, you know, in prayer time. You hear it in their towns, Allah, Yakbar, Allah, Yakbar. And I was, you know, like the white boy. You know, man, who in the heck is this? What is this? That's crazy. They do something like that. But when you look outside, you see people leaving their house at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning walking to the masjid. Little children on their father's shoulders and back walking to the masjid and their wives with them going to say prayer. And that's when I bought my first Holy Quran, because I believe that whatever, even all the bombs and the death that was all around us, the threat of annihilation, they never let Allah go. And that so convinced me, dear sister, who have never, ever heard of Elijah Muhammad, heard the name of Allah, or anything dealing with Muslims. It convinced me, looking at that, I need to find out who this Allah is and learn about him myself. And that was in 1991, that when I came home from the war, I didn't find another Muslim to 1995. I looked all over Alabama looking for a Muslim. I would have been any kind of Muslim that came my way, but Allah protected me. I could have been a 5%er, a Sunni, or Orthodox. I didn't know what a Muslim was. I just knew I wanted to be a Muslim. And one day, some of the Muslims from Birmingham, Alabama, was in my city selling final calls, promoting the Million Man March. And I saw them, and I heard them giving the greeting. And I said, man, that's what I've been looking for 4 years. I was looking for it. And when I saw them brothers, I knew that that's where I was supposed to be. So if a believer is not willing to study, or they're, like most of us, got kicked out of high school and writing and reading is not their thing, your example is your most powerful weapon against darkness. Your example. All right. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Alaikum
salam. Alaikum salam. Okay. Briefly, does anyone else want to weigh in on the question?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
I would.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Brother James.
Yes, I'd like to say, and I'm trying to say this briefly, as I can. I'm going to try. First and foremost,
please,
I want to assure our Christian brothers and sisters who may be listening that this is not an assault on your belief. This is not an attack on your religious position. Certainly it couldn't be an attack on who you think the Messiah is, because you have not identified him yet for yourself. So we're not attacking your belief. We're not attacking your religious position. But for those of us who now wish to stand and defend the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in what he says of himself, we have to study. That is our obligation. We have to now see him. In fact, he said, you don't see me if you don't see me in the light of Scripture.
Right.
This is something
right.
Brother Dimitrik has helped us with for quite some time. In fact, he wrote a book in the light of Scripture, a very wonderful reference book. He wrote a book defending Farrakhan, another, and this one, Who Do They Say I Am? We have an obligation to read Brother Jibril's articles, an obligation to now not just read the Gospels just for the sake of reading, but to walk through each chapter and verse to identify not personality, but identify work. Work. Because we're not referencing the minister because just because he said so. Of course, that would be enough for me, for him saying it would be enough for me. But we have the obligation now to identify the work, the history of the Messiah, who were, in fact, his enemies, and what did they say about him, and what did they attempt to do to him. And since, as Brother Student Minister Dimitrik mentioned earlier on, that 84 to 85% of what they said, Jesus said, he really didn't say, not the historical Jesus. And 84 to 85% of what they say he did, he didn't do, not the historical Jesus. So if it's written of a Jesus type or a Messiah type to do these things, and scholarship is now proving that these things were not done, nor were they said 2,000 years ago, well, history abhors a vacuum. Time abhors a vacuum. Somebody, somewhere, said it or will say it. So we've got to make the study the scriptures in that light and then draw comparisons. Well, if the upper-level Jews were reported scripturally to be the enemy of the Messiah 2,000 years ago, then who fits that bill today? Who is he whom the upper-level Jews, so-called Jews, are mimical of today, who are trying to destroy him in the press, trying to destroy his movement, trying to discredit him? Who are they of the Sanhedrin, the scribes and the Pharisees? Who are they that feared the man, that they wanted to silence him because they feared that if he was to continue to be allowed to speak, then everybody would believe on him? Draw the comparison. But if we're not willing to study, if we're going to have just an emotional, knee-jerk response, now I'm talking to those of us who follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, if we're not willing to study, if we're not willing to equip ourselves to be able to defend him historically, scripturally, and also in the teachings. However, keep in mind that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he was reciting certain answers to certain questions given to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad by the God, much of which is in the Supreme Wisdom, he told them, "Brother, I don't want you answering the questions like I answered them, but I want you to give them deeper meaning." Yes, we can find the basis of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing and saying in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but we must look for a deeper expression by the instructions given to him. And this is why the ultimate instruction he gave us before he physically departed, and I just want to say that when I say physically departed, I don't mean he died. I mean physically departed from among us. But the ultimate instruction he gave to us was to continue to hear my minister, Farrakhan. He said many other things, but that's the last thing he said. Continue. If you define that word, it means to keep going. Keep going until when? Until the one that told you to continue to him comes back and tells you to stop. So we have to study, dear sister. And those of us who are unwilling and or unable to study, to defend the minister in the light of Scripture, in the light of the teachings, in the light of prophecy, then just don't say it. Don't say anything that you can't defend. But those of us who want to be able to defend him, we have embarked on study, and we're not saying that we've arrived, not at all. We're just at the beginning of this journey. But there are those of us who want to study, are willing to study, and will study, so that we can become proficient in defending that man in the light of Scripture, in the light of history, and in the light of prophecy. Thank you.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Brother James. Okay. For the sake of time, we're going to move on to another question. And those of you in the chat room, I'm trying to get to it. Trust me. Okay, Brother Tony, are you still with us, beloved?
Yes, ma'am, I'm still here.
Okay, well, we're waiting on another question from you, dear brother.
I'm going to try to do this as quickly as I possibly can, because the answer sparked a lot of statements and ideas.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture says that our shepherds are blind. They are like dumb dogs who cannot bark. They love to eat and they love to slumber. So God says, I'm going to require my sheep at their hands, and I will feed them because of the slothfulness of the shepherds. We as Muslims, when we read the scripture, a lot of times we point at the Christian pastor.
Come on, brother.
But it's not talking about just the Christian pastor. It says shepherds,
right.
All of those who shepherd and teach the people.
Teach.
Historically, the Christian did not pinpoint distinctly Jesus. They said he was a man who lived 2,000 years ago, but he had many drawings of his appearance that varied in different ways. And those drawings did not coincide with the scriptural description of him. We even saw pictures of Jesus with an afro in some depictions. The same thing with God. They didn't distinctly identify God. They made God some mystical being that was all-encompassing, and he wasn't a person that you could, or an entity that you could put your finger on. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came, and he said, this man is God. This man is the devil. This is the dragon. This is the woman in the wilderness, or the woman that was a wonder in heaven. He made distinctions. And the scripture says that's what the messenger of God would do. And the same thing with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He has made distinctions. These are the devils. This is Satan. These are the seven or the men that Master Farad Muhammad said that he would cast into a lake of fire. He identified these men. But we as teachers and shepherds, when we teach the scripture, we're very general. We say this deals with this particular aspect and this deals with this particular aspect. And then we say, well, just study. But the scripture says that the messenger will come amongst the illiterates. So if the people are illiterate, how can they study? The Bible says that the day will come where the blind would hear the word of the book and they would see out of obscurity. So somebody got to teach them distinctly who is who and what is what. So my question is this. If we are the shepherds, the book of Revelation says from chapter 1 to chapter 4, it identifies three men. One man is talking to John in the island of Patmos. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Another man is sitting on the throne holding a book. And there's a lamb that took the book out of the hand of him to sat on the throne. So the question to the panelists, in your estimation and in your study, who are these three men distinctly?
Mm.
Okay. Oh, well, don't everybody speak at once. Brother Dimitri?
Well, Sister Aziza, sometimes I'm silent because you initially started out selecting who you wanted to respond to the question. So I was just waiting for your selection.
Okay,
I didn't want to jump ahead
I'm
of your selection.
Yeah. I'm going to start with Brother Dimitri on this one.
Yes, it's another very heavy question from our esteemed Brother Tony. And just to clarify, you mentioned, dear brother, John on the Isle of Patmos. You mentioned two others. I don't think I caught the other two. Would you repeat that, sir?
Two others were the Alpha and the Omega that were speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos. There was a man sitting on the throne holding a book, and it was a lamb that took the book out of him that sat on the throne. Who are those three men distinctly?
Oh, well, we have been taught through the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that John the Revelator on the island of Patmos is Yaqub, who is the father of the Caucasian people, who is being given a picture of the end of his civilization. We're also taught that the lamb is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who appeared as though he was slain from the foundation of the earth. But he has the wisdom to break seals on all of the scriptures, specifically the Bible and the Holy Quran. He gives us that meat, if you will. He gives us that clear, distinct, discriminating truth that you were calling for, dear brother. And you mentioned the Alpha and the Omega. If I'm correct, it's been a minute since I have read the messengers or the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's exegesis on these passages. But we know that the originator of the heavens and the earth, the Alpha and the Omega, is a human being. And throughout time, his form always passes, but the wisdom and the power is transferred from father to son. And so when you look at the Alpha and the Omega, depending on the context of what we're reading, you know, we could be talking about the originator. We could be talking about Master Farah Muhammad. We could be talking about the God of the previous cycle in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings about Yaqub. We know that when Yaqub is described as being incarcerated, and there is a king who comes to negotiate with him based on his knowledge of what was to come, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad describes that king in other of his writings, specifically the Pittsburgh Courier, as Allah. But of course, we know that this is descriptive language, because there's, as the minister said, no king in Islam, but this is the God of that period of time who is fulfilling what we read of in the Bible about Jacob wrestling with an angel. You know, and to wrestle is a synonym, could be a synonym for to negotiate or to quarrel or to haggle or to go back and forth or to try to work out in agreeable terms. And so throughout the book of Revelations, we have so many different important characters that we have learned about that in the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But we understand from our study that most people are fearful of dealing with the book of Revelations because literally Revelations gives you the end of it all. And as Paul said, you know, sometimes we prophesy in part because we see in part. We see as though we're looking through a glass darkly. But Paul goes on to say, but when he is come, we will see things as they are. And so I would just refer you for the most authoritative exegesis of those scriptures, the writings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And some may know that we are working to produce a volume of a collection of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad Pittsburgh Courier articles for Minister Farrakhan so that he may give them to the believers. And so I can say that so many of the questions that we may have are found in those articles, because there is a great depth, I think, what Brother Tony is after. And sometimes we're a little bit too cautious, you know, and so in our representation of his teachings, we often go between extremes. You know, you have those that, you know, a man comes and hears the word for the first time, and you blow his mind with heavy doses of meaty teaching. And then you have those that always speak around or in general ways about what we know. And I would say that both methods are appropriate. It just depends on who your audience is. You know, again, you know, teaching requires skill, you know.
That's
it
right.
Requires careful consideration of who the student is and, you know, what do they know. So oftentimes it's better, you know, to be kind of in the middle. And in fact, the Quran advises the believer, you know, in terms of, you know, our righteousness, to take a middle course. And I would say that that kind of applies to the way you represent the truth, is you have to kind of take a middle course, because you want to give a person enough to be like a fish that's on a hook. You want to hook them, you know, but you don't necessarily want to come out of hiding and show the fish that there's a man attached to the other end of that hook. You know, we get him on that hook, and then as we progress with him and are patient with him, his growth and development, we can say, well, now, brother, you know, we understood this way yesterday, but now we understand it to mean this. And the last point I make is, well, case in point, many of Minister Farrakhan's detractors like to say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad never referred to himself as Jesus. He kept that a distinction for his teacher, Master Farrakhan Muhammad. And they do this because they know that if they acknowledge that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad referred to himself as Jesus, then the minister, that there is to be another person who fulfills other parts of the scriptures as a helper to Jesus. So they say, well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught he was the Moses, you know. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in the Theology of Time, he said, I'm the Elijah of your Bible, I'm the Muhammad of your Quran, I'm the Jesus of your Bible.
That's
so he
right.
did refer to himself as Jesus in the 70s, but he didn't refer to himself as Jesus in the 30s. So we even now, as Brother James was imploring us, we have to go back and study. When we were, Sister Aziza, coming to Houston, I don't know if you were there, Dr. Wesley, myself, Sister Minister Anthony, and Brother Robert, to do the spiritual boot camp. The minister wrote us a letter of advice before we produced or before we conducted that seminar. And he began to talk to us about how point number 12 originally was written to describe one man. He said, but we now understand that it was written to describe two men, Master Farrakhan Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So there is a lot within these weighty subjects that I pray to Allah we're not losing anybody, or we're not being unnecessarily redundant. But what all of the brothers are saying, I concur with it 1,000%. We have to be good examples. We have to be studied. We have to study to show ourselves approved. And we have to be conscientious teachers, so as we don't injure a person. As the minister said of himself, he said, brother, I kill many before I learn how to give life. That's a heck of a statement.
Yes,
know?
Sir.
So we don't want to be that way, because we don't have to be. He's already
right.
modeled the way for us. We just
That's
have
right.
to adopt his way as our way. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay. So is there anyone else? Brother Andre, you've been kind of quiet over there. You have anything you want to contribute? And then let me tell you what I'm going to do next. I'm going to give each of you a prophet, and I want you, if you could, and if you're comfortable, to expound on how the minister parallels with that particular prophet, because there are two things that I must do before we leave tonight. I want to talk about those particular prophets, and we must hear from Brother Demetric about the crucifixion of Christ. So I want to go to Brother Andre on this question and move on, you know, because I'm trying to get it all in before the time. And we might go over, we may not. I try not to keep you all over, but inshallah, we'll get it done. So Brother Andre, did you want to respond to Brother Tony's question?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, sister. And I just want to, there's nothing that I can add to what Student Minister Demetric said about those three people in Revelations. The only thing that I would add to that is that when you're speaking about the one who took the book from the one sitting on the throne, when you look at how those of us who are following the minister during his time and what must be done lecture series, also those of us who studied him over the years when he began to raise the nation after the departure of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, how he effectively walked through the avenues of Scripture using the book or interpreting the book according to where we would understand not only the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but also himself in Scripture. It also speaks about how he is able to give an interpretation of the Scripture that will make just even babies plain and make it the truth so plain to them. And look at how he conducts himself, not only on his speeches, but even when he goes into the Christian churches and whatnot, wherever he goes, he exemplifies that truth within the book that most of us still have problems with trying to understand. He was taught by a master teacher, and that teacher has given him the ability to be a master teacher to us in order to give us that exonerated experience, if that's the term that I want to use, because in the Holy Quran it speaks about a man who will be a messenger to the children of Israel, who God himself would teach. He would teach him the book, the wisdom, the Torah, and the gospel. And he would be able to explain or give the people things that they should store in their homes, as well as everything that they should eat. You know, so when you look at all of these things that are going on now, and the messenger, the minister, is effectively driving us through all of everything that we see around us, the McDonald's, the fast food. He's telling us passionately to stay away from those things according to Scripture. He's telling us passionately to stay away from those things that will give us a bad name, getting on, you know, on the social media and things of that nature, getting upset with people when they speak bad of him. He's given us an example of what we should do and how we should do it. When you have those kinds of credentials, speaking of the book, it's only one that has a certain interpretation of that book that can effectively lead the people or the sheep, as the brother has spoke of, like a watchman. A watchman, in layman's terms, a watchman has a light or a flashlight, meaning that he can see things coming before they get there. He's able to see the thief or someone who's trying to break into the home because he has a flashlight. And when he shines that flashlight, the light shines clearly to that person or the thief, and they return or they retreat. And that's what he's doing to to the falsehood that's being placed upon or given to us to accept. He's allowing us to be a watchman from that falsehood because he's been given the interpretation of the book. So that's really the only thing that I had to add to that fact. And I was not being quiet, sister. Definitely, I was taking in everything that was being said by all the ones on the panelists. So, yes, ma'am. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about being in the nation. We have so many well-studied, well-versed brothers and sisters, and we can all learn from one another. We never, ever stop learning. Okay, so this is what I want to do for the sake of time. I want to talk about maybe three prophets or three characters in the Bible, so to speak, and I want to have one person designated to elaborate on, you know, the how Minister Farrakhan parallels or compares to that particular one. And I tried to pick who I wanted to say what, but I'm just going to go off the top of my head. So I'm going to go to Brother James out of Tampa. Can you give us a comparison to, well, I don't think he's a prophet, but Noah. Can you give us a comparison to Noah to and Minister Farrakhan?
Thank you, dear sister. And before I attempt to do so, I want to say that I don't wish to indicate to anyone listening that I personally view the minister as a prophet. No, I do not. He's more than a prophet. This is not the day and time of prophets. This is the day and time of God and God's presence. Now, in terms of Noah, Noah, of course, preached, according to the history, for 150 years that a flood was coming, that rain was coming. And, of course, 150 years is a long time to preach and not see, not even, I guess the weathermen would say precipitation. So you have to have great faith to preach that long, but it ultimately came. Noah was instructed to build an ark. The ark, of course, the historians say, was a physical reality, but also it's a spiritual reality in that it's a place of safety to escape the onslaught of a natural disaster or some disaster that causes the death in mass of many, many, many people. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan hasn't been preaching for 150 years, but he's been preaching for over 50 years, this message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He's also preached the end of this world, not the physical end as such, but the end of this world's rulership and the systems from that come out of this world's ruler, the system. He's been preaching for a long time. The ark that he is building is the ark of the nation of Islam, like his father and ours, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place that will provide protection from an impending disaster. So he, like Noah, is preaching consistently. He is the most consistent preacher that of this teaching that I know of. He hasn't changed at all, even though some have said he has changed. He's just gone deeper and given wider and broader understanding of what was taught and even of statements that he made. He patiently tolerates the people for a long, long, long time. He tolerates our slowness to respond to his instruction. He tolerates the people's repeated attacks out of their ignorance. against him or on him, even though he spent his life for the upliftment of the very people who attack him. He, like Noah, even though he is mocked and scorned, even though he is ridiculed in the press, he still continues to build the ark. So, in brief, those are similarities to Moses. These are not only similarities, but I'll stop right there. I'll stop right there. Because, again, I don't see him as a prophet at all, although he's done a lot of the work of many of the prophets. But I'll stop there, sis.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brother James. Okay, and Brother James out of Alabama. What about... Sir?
Go ahead.
Okay, what about David in the Bible?
Wow, that takes a long time to do that, but just very quick, David, one of the things was that I like was, I remember Brother Burby did a super excellent job talking relating David and the minister when David dealt with string instruments and, you know, David the psalmist. And when you read about the works of David, and when I think about the minister, that's a study for those that just right off, you know, the way David represented God in the scriptures, the way he conquered things and the way he moved forward in faith with Allah. You see that with the ministers. And, you know, I'm just one of those that when I think of those prophets and I think of David, you know, I also think about the people. But I know that we're talking about the minister in this, and as best I can do it so that we can, for the sake of time, is that David, as he was good in his string instruments, his string instruments deal with different levels of sound and how the minister is able to reach the different levels of our people, whether they're from the streets, uneducated, or have doctorate degrees. The tone of the minister's voice is able, and the rhythm of his voice and the sound that travels from him, that Allah has put in him, is able to reach everyone. And when you see that about David, he affected everyone that was around him. And I see that same type of spirit in the minister that developed that type of ability. Well, you can't develop that. You have to be made that way, and that's what the messenger did, made him to where your voice can reach everyone, no matter who it is, where it's at, any time of day. I've been in super hot buildings where your clothes are sticking to you, but the minister start talking and you start shaking because it done got so cool in there. That's just the way his voice is and the tone of his voice. And so I think that's probably the quickest example I can give you, but one of the best examples that I can give you is the way how the minister relates to David dealing with music and the way he reaches to the hearts of the people as did David in the scriptures. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Brother James. Okay. So, Brother Andre, I chose Aaron for you.
Yes, ma'am. You said, brother, you chose Aaron for me. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Historically speaking, when you compare the minister to Aaron, if we notice in the scripture, Aaron was a speaker. Now, if you want to say that for Moses, because Moses had a knot in his tongue. Be not speaking that the people did not understand him, but he was not able to speak effectively to the people as Aaron was. So Aaron was like a voice for Moses, historically speaking. When you look at the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had said on one occasion that, brother, I don't want you to teach. Yeah, I don't want you to give the teachings the same way as I did 40 years ago. I want you to give them the meaning. So, looking at the minister as compared to Aaron, Aaron was left in charge of the people when Moses was instructed to go on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. He was left in charge of the people. And it's the same way the messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, has left the minister in his seat at his departure. He's left the minister in his seat as well to lead us or to give us the true meaning of his teachings. Not saying that the members of the Nation of Islam did not have the true meaning of the teachings when the messenger was here. I'm not saying that they did not have those teachings. I'm just saying that the minister is fulfilling scripture by giving us the true meaning. If you read in the scriptures, it says that I must go away and I will leave behind me a comforter. And he will speak of all things in my name. He will guide you into all truth. Now, when you look at that scripture, a lot of us say, well, the comforter, he's talking about a spirit. Well, if that's the case, it could be referred to as he. It would have to be referred to as it. So let us not get that mixed up with the spookiness that some of us may have the tendency to think about when we look at that scripture. Let us look at it in the eyes of what it's really saying. He will guide you into all truth. Hosea speaks about our people perish for the lack of knowledge. Now, he did not go into detail and specify what kind of knowledge that was that was causing the people to perish. Jesus also said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Now, he did not specify either which truth that was. But this scripture says that he will guide us into all truth. Well, what truth is that? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. If he's given us the truth that we need to be better husbands, to be better fathers, to be better representatives of God on earth, because the Holy Quran speaks about he will place a vicegerent in his place, on his earth, to rule. We're supposed to be khalifas or vicegerents, as it says it, or rulers, or those who represent God in his absence. The minister is representing the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his absence to the fullest. He's representing God in his absence to the fullest because he was given that ability to stand in the place, in the seat of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if that's the best thing that I want to say, while he's departed from us. Comparing those two, he has the position of being in the seat of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his departure and leading us and guiding us to that truth that's spoken of in the Bible that would allow us or enable us as believers to be accepted into the kingdom of God that's spoken of. Because the only way that we can get into the kingdom of God is that we be righteous. There's no such thing. We can't carry anything from this world into the kingdom of God. So what he's doing is he's allowing us to see those bad characteristics, those bad habits, those bad thoughts, those things that will not allow us to get into it, to that, which Aaron did to a certain extent. He removed those things from the people in Moses' absence. If we read the Bible and study it, that's what happened. So that's my interpretation of Minister Farrakhan and like Brother James said earlier, I don't view him as a prophet. So he's more than a prophet, but that's the best description that I can give at this particular time concerning him and Aaron. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right, and Brother Demetric, I saved Gabriel for you. Brother Demetric, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I was on mute. Say that again.
I saved Gabriel for you.
Oh, wow. You went from a prophet to an angel. Aziza flips the script on a brother.
I didn't want to say the word characters in the Bible or in Scripture. It just felt so weird to say characters, but as he likens to the angel Gabriel, if you will.
Right. Well, you know, the minister, as the brothers have beautifully expounded it, I'm not going to be long at all. The best response that I could give is that, you know, the minister is a man who was literally written in the volume of the book, meaning that his life fulfills in completion no one particular servant or messenger of God, but in his person and in his history, his life has been guided by Allah to touch aspects of all of the great ones of God, prophets, messengers, men, women, angels, even as Peter, who went from a form of hypocrisy or denial of Jesus to becoming the best spokesperson for Jesus along with the Apostle Paul. And so the minister is written of in the volume of the book, like Gabriel or Jibril. He is sounding the alarm most of the time. Whenever you see pictures of Gabriel, he is depicted with a trumpet. And oftentimes he is atop a church or some type of house of worship, because Gabriel is very special. He is in Revelations. He shows up in the life of Prophet Muhammad, is all throughout the Bible. And we know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the minister at one point, he said, "Brother, did you know you was an angel?" And so the minister, of course, you know, the humble man that he is, not seeing himself in that light. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had to literally impose his will, you know, and saying, "Brother, who is the teacher here? I hear what you're saying, but I said you was an angel, and my mouth is not made to speak idle words."
That's right.
So the minister has had an angelic presence among our people. I mean, my God, I find so much joy in studying his history. It is a passion of mine, because I believe, as my sister, Sister Jamie, referenced earlier, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has a lot of people who follow him and believe in him. And if we follow and believe in the minister, in my humble opinion, that presupposes that we should be experts in him. There is no one that would be a worthy representative of a foreign country or foreign dignitary who would not be like a walking encyclopedia of the person or the land that he represents. Yet oftentimes we get into disputes with half-learned individuals in social media or otherwise, and come to find out we ourselves are rather half-learned. So it's good sound counsel, in my judgment, that if we're not ready to go certain places, don't go. The minister has taught us for years, fools rush in where wise men fear to tread. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, as Brother James from Alabama, my beautiful brother, said about letting your light shine, you know, permitting people to see, you know, the light that's in you. And I gave a elementary example as I was talking to some brothers in a place of confinement here recently. And I said, you know, if you knew a person who maybe they had a weight problem, you know, and they had begun to change their diet, they had begun to exercise, but you still couldn't tell. And this person, as soon as they began to change their way of eating and exercises, they began to preach to everybody else. You know, you should stop eating pork. You should give up carbs. You know, you need to get in the gym. Yeah. And now the people look at this person and say, brother, sister, why don't you try your advice on yourself first?
That's right.
And then perhaps you could advise me and others. But now flip the script for a moment. What if such a person began to change their way of life and did not alert anyone? And so one day you see them after a long period of time perhaps, and they have visibly, physically changed. The first thing you want to know is, man, brother, sister, what have you been doing? You look marvelous, as they say. Mm-hmm. Now a teachable moment has been created, and such a person is at full liberty to teach the one who has inquired as to how they have benefited in their life. So I think that the minister, as an angelic being among us, is very intriguing, because angels are there who deliver messages. There are also angels who perform destructive work. And we know the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us that at a certain point he has a rendezvous with destiny, and that he will go and see his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, once again. And
that's right.
When he returns, he's not Farrakhan the teacher. He's not Farrakhan that turns the other cheek. He's not Farrakhan that is the suffering servant. No, he is Farrakhan, the mighty angel, who comes He brings about the destruction of the wicked.
That's
so much that could be uncovered on this subject. But I'd like to believe that all of us tonight have done a very good job in sharing our understanding of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Scripture. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that even though this is our understanding at this point in time, we always keep an open mind and yield to the better understanding and guidance that only the minister could give to us. So, Sister Aziza, thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray to Allah that we have not abused this privilege. And I thank Allah for you, Brother James, and Brother James, and Brother Tony, and Brother Andre, and all who have listened and added so much to us tonight. I am very, very appreciative to Almighty God Allah. And thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Brother Demetric. And, you know, I promised some people who have been in the chat room that I would get to Brother Demetric about the crucifixion of Jesus and the enemies of Jesus. Now, I'm going to leave it up to Brother Demetric. Brother Demetric, if you want to address it right quick, you can. Or if you want us to bring you back at a different time, and we can do a whole show on that topic if you like.
Well, Sister Aziza, I'm open to coming back anytime that you would invite me, and we have availability in our schedule. You know, that's like, you know, giving a man a plate of steak and asking him to hurry up and eat it in the next 2 minutes. You know, all I could say is that, you know, and you've heard this so much tonight, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse. I've come to know, working among our people in various arenas, that literacy is a big problem for the black man and woman of America. And I think I understand something now why the lessons refer to a temple reading class, even though in more than 20 years of the nation, I've never known a mosque or a temple to have a reading class. But we oftentimes encourage people to study who really have challenges in that area. And I would encourage those that have those challenges you know, to seek out that knowledge so that you can have the joy of learning certain things for yourself. The minister has said, you know, we rely on people for oral transmission, and many of them are not qualified for oral transmission. So where does this leave the believer who really wants to know? We have to take ownership of our spiritual life so that we can study and see why we are saying certain things. I have to be very honest, and I don't mean this in no disrespect, but I'm really kind of taken aback at many people who are having issues with this, the minister being described as Jesus. Because where I have come from, you know, we've always taught that. We've always studied Jabril's articles. We've always understood something about what a minister was in Scripture. So I'm curious if many of these people that are in social media and other places, you know, are not placed there by the government, which several articles have come out to reveal that NSA and the other government agencies they plant people in certain conversations online to try to, number one, divert the people's attention away from the truth and also confuse people. And so, but, you know, let's take that subject up at another time, dear sister, where we could bring all of our resources to bear to show that the minister is walking along a path of fulfilling the crucifixion. Certainly not something any of us who love him want to hear, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not necessarily crucified like that. The Savior was not necessarily crucified like that. So that remains something to be fulfilled in the New Testament, and we just have to be mature about what is in the Scripture and know that in the final analysis, Allah is God, there is no God but He, and we will be the winners. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you so much, Brother Demetric, and I promise, I apologize. I know you all wanted to hear from Brother Demetric tonight on that topic, and we'll bring him back early next year and make sure we cover that for you all. Thank everyone who participated in the chat room. Those of you on the phone and in the chat room, y'all kept me busy. I tried to answer your questions by chat. Those of you by phone, I'm just going to have to start selecting different people to actually answer their questions because I just can't get to you all. So, but I thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Brother Demetric, Brother James, Muhammad out of Alabama, our prison reform student minister, Brother James out of Tampa, Florida, my dear brother and host of our Friday night study group, Put On the New Man, and, of course, my beloved brother Andre, always so willing to teach and help. So thank you, Brother Andre out of Grand Rapids. And we lost Brother Tony. He had to go. But thank you, Brother Tony, for co-hosting with me tonight and asking a very intriguing question. And so I'm going to give you the line for the rest of the week. But before I do, I want to wish all of you a happy and safe and healthy new year. May Allah continue to bless all of you. And may we all strive for self-improvement in the coming year. So tomorrow, 8 p.m., join us for a study group, Put On the New Man, hosted by student James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. And Brother James, I know Brother Ilya is on your show, along with whom else?
With our dear beloved brother, student minister Demetric Muhammad. He will be doubly blessing us with his presence tomorrow on our show. He's going to be highlighting the controversy with our dear brother Kanye, and of course his meeting with the minister and the advice that the minister gave him regarding his situation. And of course brother Ilya Rashad will be talking about his new book, UFOs and the Nation of Islam, and will also be blessed with the presence of student minister Stanley Muhammad out of Georgia, specifically the study group coordinator over the College Park study group, brother whom I've known for many, many, many years.
My dear brother Stanley, yes, all praise is due to Allah. So that's one study group you do not want to miss tomorrow. It's going to be another power pack panel. So please do not miss us, 8 p.m. Central. On Saturday, we'll be back with Young, Gifted, and Black. I forgot what Sophia Terra is doing, but whatever it is, you know she's going to be awesome. And on Sunday, we'll be joined for our last show of the year. I think it will be the last show. With Brother Vernon, No Romance with Our Finance, our economic development program. And on Monday, join us with Brother Kareem as he come back with Conscious Black Nation. And I do know the name of his show, but I forgot it because he told me, and he's going to be mad at me. But just join us at 8 o'clock. And on Tuesday, I'm sorry about the mishap. But Blog Talk has some issues as usual, but Brother Jihad will be back on Tuesday with Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. Of course, he'll be joined by the Captain Emeritus and Brother Rudolph, and they're going to be talking about disaster preparedness. So join us for that at 8 o'clock on Tuesday. At 7 o'clock on Wednesday, DJ Black Season Friends, and of course next Thursday I'll be back with another topic. So may Allah continue to bless you all. Thank you all, brothers, so very much. I am so honored that you all joined me tonight, and I know it was a lot of you, but I thank you. And I got to bring this brother in because he's my VP. He might hurt me if I don't. So assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam. And I would never do anything to hurt you, Queen Aziza. Fantastic, off the chain, all the other accolades that you can give on this particular show. I mean, that's what I get to see. I got a chance to listen and eat off the plate tonight and learn and grow. But
yes,
I just wanted
Yes,
ma'am. I just wanted to help out, which our topic is really going to feed almost directly out of this show. The title of it is we're going to delve into that statement that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad made, after me comes Allah. So we're going to deal with that.
Ooh.
And so it's coming directly out of this. I mean,
all right, brother Andre, you ready? Brother Andre,
yes, ma'am.
Are you ready?
Well, you know, hey, you know, we always got to be ready. We got to have our boots strapped up at all times. So, you know, I got my brother in the back just in case I'm not ready. He got my back. So, yeah, I'm about as ready as I'm going to get. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll pray for you so long. Okay, and okay, so we'll be looking forward to tomorrow with Brother James for put on the New Man Live study group. So may Allah bless us all with the light of understanding. Happy New Year, everyone. Be healthy, happy, and safe. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.